This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's a long three, and Jimmy frickin' Butler puts it in!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Honestly speaking, we don't care if you pick us to win. We never have, we never will.
Earlier on the show, 14-year NBA veteran Jim Jackson, Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin, actor and director Josh Duhamel. Still to come, host of ABC's America's Funniest Home Videos, Alfonso Ribeiro. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. What a great hour we just had. And I don't mean to say that to people who might have just missed it to make you feel... it's not passive-aggressive. It's not. It's just it's just the way I feel. But if you did miss it, it re-airs right here on the Roku channel as soon as this hour is over. We re-air every single day on Channel 210 on the Roku channel until we're live again, as we will on Friday's program. We had an hour number one. Jim Jackson just made us smarter about everything in the NBA playoffs. Terrific insight about what Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra have built together in Miami. He was on the Heat when Spoelstra was a film guy and Pat Riley was their coach playing with their heads. He told a great story on that front about last night's Eastern Conference Final Game 1, what can happen tonight in Denver between the Lakers and the Nuggets. And then an hour two, Mike Tomlin. How great was that conversation?
That's so awesome.
He's so good.
Everybody, if you missed it, you could see it on our YouTube page, the Rich Eisen Show Collection, right here on the Rich Eisen Show Roku channel page. It's video on demand. There's our podcast. It's a great example of what it's like to be in a meeting room with Tomlin when you're broadcasting one of their games. You know, last year prior to Christmas Eve, as you know, that was a very emotional night with the Immaculate Reception 50th anniversary, and Franco Harris had passed away, and Tomlin was emotional, but he was also really, really intense, but also really engaging. And, you know, it's like the convergence of, a celebration of the Immaculate Reception and then a sudden funeral for Franco, and then it's holiday time, but it's also winning time. They needed to win that football game significantly to have a shot at the playoffs the following week. And, you know, it was just an amazing half hour sitting with him. And what you heard in hour two is exactly what it's like sitting with the guy, telling you about his team, being very honest, being funny, forthright, engaging, intense. I remember I called up Mike Tirico afterwards, and I'm like, I just had a meeting with Tomlin. And he's like, that's one of the best meetings you have all year long when you're doing week after week. Love the guy. And he brought his A game, as always. Josh Duhamel in hour number two. Funny story about James Caan.
That's amazing.
From the set of Vegas. We're about to have Alfonso Ribeiro come out. Season 33 of America's Funniest Home Videos. And he will be joining us shortly on this program. And the PGA Championship is going down right now in Rochester, New York. And he's a diehard player himself. He'll be coming out here to break everything down, as well as have a fun chat coming up here on the program. As you know, I was out yesterday. Suze was here, chatted with Shaq, chatted with Lisa Salters, and a lot of NBA talk going down. And also Victor Wembanyama, front and center. I was not in the chair yesterday. Just want to give my two cents. I did watch the draft lottery go down. I'm not going to lie. I was rooting for a similar result to one of the six we came up with in running our own draft lottery.
That would have been awesome.
And it came close because twice we had the Blazers winning, right? And once we had Charlotte winning, and I thought we were in the mix to have told you what's going on. You know, and one time we had the Wizards winning, and interestingly enough, that the four number ping pong ball combination of 1 through 14 that gets associated with a team based on the percentage of chances that they have based on their record, that apparently the first three ping pong balls came up on Tuesday night in the actual draft lottery. The remaining 11 ping pong balls, the Wizards owned six of them. Had six, I guess, I don't know what numbers they were of the three of the 11 remaining ping pong balls. They had a six ping pong balls out of 11 chance. And the Spurs, I think, I don't know if they had the remaining five or they had a portion of the remaining five, but whatever it was, they got it. They got it. And here they go again. Team that won a lottery for David Robinson and won a lottery for Tim Duncan has now won the lottery for Victor Wembanyama. And they now have a new fan in TJ Jefferson. Congratulations on becoming a Spurs fan, because you said you're so sick of the Sixers and Clippers messing with your heart that we have now added the Spurs logo and banner to your collection.
First of all, we got to get rid of the other ones, though, because I'm done.
We're not
going to
do that because you know. Like, let's just say if Damian Lillard winds up as a Sixer or a Clipper.
Oh, yeah,
that
take all this back.
You're back.
Now, do you remove the Spurs one? Because you said you were going to become a fan of whichever team Vic wound up and on. And so, welcome to the Spurs family, I guess.
I'm just confused right now. I'm hurt still. it felt good. It felt good to watch a game yesterday and not have anxiety, though.
That's true.
That was actually fun.
And I imagine it was helpful that the team that bounced you lost. That had to help.
I don't necessarily subscribe to that theory.
Oh, you don't spite watch?
Not really.
Spite watch.
But I traditionally don't like the Celtics, so it is always nice to see them lose. But that's not because they beat us.
And, it all started, let's not forget, forevermore. In the same way that, Jokic got drafted during a commercial break, right? He got drafted on the...
Oh, yeah. Nikola Jokic got drafted during
a Burger King commercial, and you could see that on YouTube where the bottom line comes in, hey, the Nuggets drafted some guy you've never seen play.
Wow.
And, this was the Victor Wembanyama era in San Antonio was born out of the Wendy and Windy show. Brian Windhorst wound up all the way in Paris. Sign that was a surprise because I hadn't seen him. I assume he did a couple of hits, as they see in the TV business, prior to the lottery. In Paris.
I think they kept him under wraps.
Did they?
It was like a surprise.
And then all of a sudden, Brian Windhorst just shows up in Paris. Yeah. An American in Paris. His name is Brian Windhorst.
they had him under cloak, and they just waited. And Mike, surprise!
How insane must it have been? Either in some studio, or some control room, or truck, that Wembanyama's mic was not functioning properly.
They were going.
Del Tufo would never.
I mean, Mike Del Tufo.
When you got that one shot like that.
That's it. You got 70 seconds.
I'm still mortified.
Windhorst took Air France all the way over there, assuming.
When you have that one
shot.
This is it. I'm mortified still from one of our pregames for a Super Bowl where Brett Favre's mic crackled.
There you go. I remember that too.
And I wanted to.
And I was so... I don't remember.
I was like, you have that one shot you have.
I don't remember.
You have one shot.
Do not miss this chance to blow.
Just like everything, though, in the NBA Twitterverse or in the NBA media world, of which I'd say we're a part because we're about to play something from Shaq from yesterday with Suze.
I thought you were going to say because we're in a movie.
No, I'm just saying anything that happens in the NBA world, it's like a huge ripple effect seems to happen. It's kind of weird. More than in maybe any other sport, because I guess the NBA Twitter is the one that's most viewed and off the charts and liked and retweeted and whatever. More than the NFL, kinda more than
wild.
Any sport.
Yeah,
it's kind of wild.
Yep.
So prior to the draft lottery, Woj, who's one of the most respected voices in the NBA media world, was calling Wembanyama over and over again maybe the greatest prospect in the history of team sports. I mean, he's very talented. And we are seeing stuff, and reels on Instagram and shorts on YouTube and whatever you're watching, TikToks, fellow youths watching TikToks. And so you're seeing stuff that you just don't see, like follow-up slam dunks of a missed three of your own shooting, like that sort
that
of
before.
Stuff,
yeah,
in between the legs dribbling. I mean, there have been a lot of pantsed Parisians we have seen from the hardwood in France. Okay. And so there's a lot of hype. And of course, when Giannis is playing the way that he has been playing and somebody kind of has a similar build and features, You're putting two to two together and saying, in this day and age where Jokic is shooting threes and Embiid shooting threes.
And Kevin Durant.
Right. Yeah. Then this kid's built for it. But that said, I mean, that is a tall order, like the greatest prospect in the history of team sports, especially when you're talking about a sport that features LeBron James. And I remember all that hoopla.
Who's still playing.
By the way, tonight in game two of the Western Conference Finals in year 20, as now the greatest scorer in the history of the association, passing Kareem, who, as Jim Jackson said in hour number one, kind of was a big prospect himself coming out of college, you know, Mr. Alcindor. So Damian Lillard took to Twitter, and he's like, I was in seventh grade when they was hyping Bron on ESPN. By the way, I know how, you know, I'm going to sound here. MF still at the top 20 years later. Stop playing with dude, brah. Said, I knew it. Bruh, it's getting out of pocket, which, by the way, I thought was spelled with two T's, outa. I don't know, but look, and I think some people, certainly on my Twitter feed, was saying, like, is he saying it's out of pocket that still people want to play with LeBron? Like stop playing with him because he's now in year 20, he's still killing us? No. I understood he's basically saying, look, it's out of pocket to call this kid from France, age 19, a better prospect than LeBron James was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about it with Jim Jackson in hour. We talked about it with Jim in hour number one with Jim Jackson. He's so stupid. That you know, Wembanyama is going to face some people trying to teach him what's what. And he said Pop will be one of them, too, to really put him through the ringer.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's just fascinating to me how a lot of folks are like, hey, wait a minute. Hold on. Don't forget about LeBron. And then when Shaq came on the show yesterday and Susie asked him his thoughts on Wembanyama, he wound up talking about the kid, an interesting comp for him. And then the current MVP got some smoke, too, from Shaq. Give a listen.
Guys are not playing down low anymore. Guys are not playing physical anymore. They're switching one through five. He's a pick-and-pop guy. He can shoot pretty good. And he's tall. He's like a 7'4" Kevin Durant. So I think he can acclimate very, very quickly. And he's with the master. Like, having a kid like that go to the system,
yeah,
that's what I call the Spurs, the system. Having a kid like that go to the system, I think people better watch out. If this was our era and banging, he'd be, you know, chicken noodle soup, like, kind of light. But, like, I'm watching how these guys play now, you know, especially, like, you know, Joel and B. You're 6'11", you're not posting up, you're shooting jumpers, and then you got the nerve to say, me and James can't do it by itself. Yeah, because get your big ass down in the paint. If you get your big ass down in the paint, you can do it by itself. But that's not how people play anymore. So this kid will be fine, and I wish him well.
So I wonder, how did you take that one yesterday, TJ? When all of a sudden Embiid got pulled into the equation about how Wembanyama is going to play well because there's people like Embiid not playing like Shaq used to.
I'll let Brockman answer that for me because he can tell you how I feel about that.
Hmm. TJ hates any time Embiid steps outside of the paint.
But the way the game's played now, look at Jokic. Jokic was shooting threes. Jokic pulls everybody outside the paint.
He also, when the time is necessary, he plants himself down low and uses that big body. Like, if Joe did that, if he just stopped going out 20 feet from the bucket, the dude would average 40 a game. And I love him. He's, like I said, he's probably my favorite player, but it sometimes it's frustrating to see him floating around the three-point line and just go down low.
And again, I just love how Wembanyama's eventual, you know, drafting number one overall and conversation surrounding the draft lottery now rippling into the way the Sixers got bounced as Shaq is making this point. I love it. The NBA is just dishing, man.
I mean,
it's a lot of addition, but by that I mean, you know, talking. I mean, did you see again what Barkley had to say about Ja Morant last night? I mean, that was serious and that was significant. Everybody should seek that out, but not to change complete gears here. But the conversation about Wembanyama is, hey, he would be devoured devoured if this was a down low game. And he also pointed out, though, that the Sixers might still be playing if Embiid went down low. And I thought of you. I mean, that's the implication. That's what you were saying last 4 minutes of a game in game six that was so crucial. And obviously game seven got out of hand quickly. Like, one way to do it is to go half court and say, okay, Time Lord, that's Embiid posting you up. Try and stop him.
Try and guess what?
Hey, Al Horford, that's him coming down on the box, on the blocks. And, you know, but then you're seeing, and I thought to myself, as I'm watching Anthony Davis go 40-10, first Laker to do that in a playoff game since freaking Kobe. And it wasn't good enough because Jokic was too much to stop, that he needed Rui Hachimura to come help out. And that was very effective in the fourth quarter. And we might see that tonight.
Played a good game.
We might see that tonight from the jump. Like, it seemed like the Lakers figured stuff out a little too late in game one about matchups, but they saw enough. This is a long marathon. That I thought to myself that the guy who can maybe neutralize Jokic the best just got eliminated by the Celtics. But
especially if you look at their one-on-one matchup this season, yeah.
And I just found this dominated. I just found this conversation about what Dame said prior to the lottery and what Shaq said after the lottery, just by Wembanyama being out there, just kind of gives you a glimpse of what's coming for the kid in the fall and how the NBA world is always churning and can just be spun in any different direction by some all-time greats like Shaq, and I think Lillard is too. Let's take a break. Alfonso Ribeiro is here. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Always a great chat when this gentleman stops by to talk dancing, but most importantly, America's funniest home videos and some golf. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1/4 moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold.
The boys of summer are playing on the Believe podcast.
A product of baseball is much more watchable.
Get your baseball fix from podcasts like Wake and Rake, Farm to Show, and Ring the Bell.
He's not really hitting balls through the screws.
Plus, local podcasts like Believe in Astros and Believe in the Bronx.
You're going to have to get some more innings out of the rotation.
Just search BLEAV podcast wherever you listen.
Alfonso Ribeiro here on the program. Let's just jump into it and talk a little bit more AFV shortly. How's your golf game?
Well, it was really bad for a long time. I lost
Come
it.
On
I, well, you know, I was saying this to your producers, but like I have a simulator at the house, which is the greatest tool that you can have for golf. It is awesome.
Yes. I come over like 3 o'clock today.
Except when you have my mind.
Well,
right?
Because
I like to tinker. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly trying to, I could do this and do that. And I literally tinkered my way out of a golf swing. And then I started looking at some videos of my coach and I and went back to the old swing that I'd stopped tinkering with. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it came together, you know, because I was shooting in the 80s, right? Mm-hmm. I shoot 77, and then yesterday I shoot 70. And it just all came back. It all, it was kind of probably all that tinkering that I did gave me more knowledge.
Yes.
But going back to what works for me is absolutely working. So I'm excited about the American Century this year up in Lake Tahoe.
Yes.
Because if this is just the beginning of getting it back, oof. We don't know. We don't know what could happen.
How stable is the Stableford? How are we Stableford?
I mean, with the Stableford, I'm going to put up 20, 25 points a day if I keep doing this. I'm just saying.
Are you really?
I mean,
you're feeling it. I mean, you have to speak. You have to speak things into existence.
And I, you know what? I say that to my I coach my kids' baseball teams.
Yes.
And I literally used that the other day in a game. I was like, are we going to have fun today? Yeah. Are we going to play well today? Are we going to make some base hits? Are we going to get some outs? I was like, yes. Everybody say it after me. And they said the whole thing after me. I was like, now you've already put it in existence.
There you go.
It's already there. Now you just got to just live it.
Did you win?
And they lost horribly. It was just.
That's baseball,
but
man.
They had a good time.
I was talking about this after, you know, an unfortunate Little League result for my youngest son the other day, that. Hey, you know, so many of these kids get down on themselves so hard. It's just like the Baseball Hall of Fame, the Hall of Fame, is filled with people who made outs 7 out of every 10 times.
Absolutely.
That's baseball.
That is baseball. It's hard to get a kid, especially my own kid, to get that. But it's like you realize that the greatest of all of them are all losers.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, they're not losers, right? But like, they lose
more than they've won.
More than they win. And those are the best.
At the plate, you are, if you're doing your job to the best of maybe ever, you are reaching base due to you contacting a baseball 3.5 times out of 10.
And that's huge numbers.
Right. It's tough to teach that to a kid.
It is. But like, at Little League, did you have fun, right? Mm-hmm. We were also playing the best team in the league, right? So, like, coming in, we all knew what was going to happen in this game, right? Like, this team,
so you got to speak into existence.
But what I wanted them to feel was, hey, let's have some fun. Let's just enjoy this game. We know who they are. We know how good they are. Let's just play and we'll figure it out. You know, that's the unfortunate reality of Little League is – typically, the commissioner's team is pretty good. Right? Like, there's something.
Bud Selig tried that many
years.
You
know, I don't know. But in Little League, the commissioner's team is always going to be pretty good. They've kind of seen every kid who's come through. Yes. And then all of a sudden, you know, the worst kid on that team is, you know, playing in the infield, you know, in the starting lineup. On most other teams.
Alfonso Ribeiro here on the Rich Eisen Show. The internet also undefeated. What did this gentleman finish last year?
T18 last year with Del Curry and Vinny Del Negro.
T18 is a heck of a finish.
It wasn't bad.
Your top finish? Is that not your top finish?
My top finish, I think, is like 11th.
Okay.
So my goal this year is top 10.
Who's the person you've played with where you're like, that was a blast? Like, who's the one that's the biggest blast that you've played with?
To be honest, I love all the guys.
I really do.
I really do. You know, I've played with Vinny Del Negro. I love playing with Vinny. Sterling Sharp is truly
amazing. By the way, how far does he hit the golf ball?
I have played with him before. We're really close. We're really close into it. Actually, I think Sterling would say that if we both hit our biggest drives, I would get him.
That is, by the way, you and I have never played before.
Right.
That is incredibly impressive.
You know,
I've never seen it. He hits a golf ball really far.
I hit one on Saturday, 340.
Okay.
So, like,
look at you.
Like,
You're back.
I can absolutely crush it. The problem is that once I crush one, now I'm swinging to crush every. Oh, and that doesn't typically straight.
You should.
just saying, ooh, that one timed up great. Okay. Watch me hit this one. Okay. and then it goes all wrong. But distance has never been the problem. It's always, you know, controlling the ball, right? And I've now figured out how to control the ball again. And so we'll see. But yeah, I would say with Sterling and I, he would probably say that if we both hit our biggest, I would get it. But I love playing with Sterling.
He's incredible.
He makes you smile. I played with him at the Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions down in Orlando at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And we just had, it's just so much fun. I mean, I've never played with anybody who plays faster.
Oh, he does play fast, huh?
Not even takes a second. If you accidentally start talking while he's walking to his ball, he's probably going to hit it before you finish the sentence.
I love playing golf with guys like that. I mean, I'm very happy with pace of play like that.
And you can talk all you want. He don't hear anything. It's perfect. He's great. I love playing with Sterling. I love playing. I was in a tournament in Dallas, and I had a great time playing with Mark Mulder. And I played with Albert Pujols, which was pretty awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
How far really is he? Great dude. How far does he smash it. Yeah, he smashes it. He don't know where it's going that much yet.
Okay.
But you can see.
Right.
But, I mean, he just retired. So it's not, yes. He hasn't really done a lot of work on it yet. But you can see that he's put in the work. He's smashing it. But those are two guys I enjoy playing with the last tournament. But I really do. I say to Mike Milthorpe, who's the tournament director, I don't care who you put me with. I'm going to enjoy my time with everybody.
Yeah.
Because it's, golf is unfortunately a singular game.
Yes, sir.
When you're really competing.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter who you're playing with. You're just out there, you and the course, doing your job.
It's PGA Championship Week.
Yes.
Rory's home course. And
as a member, yeah.
That's got to be helpful, one would say.
He's struggling right now.
You know, he is struggling right now. It's weird because I played golf with him back in December. Mm-hmm. I was playing at an Omega watch. They gave me this watch.
Very nice.
An Omega watch event in Florida, and he's an Omega ambassador. And we got a chance to play together. And I tell you, that was probably the most amazing experience I've ever had on a golf course. Watching Rory hit a ball all day was unbelievable.
What'd you learn? What'd you pick up? Anything?
What I learned was exactly what I went back to.
Okay.
Right. This was probably what got me on that train of thought. His swing is the most efficient swing I've ever watched. There is no extra movement or energy in his swing when he's hitting it full out. It looks like he's chipping. Except the ball goes 340.
How does that even happen?
First hole at this golf course, right, is a slight dog leg left. And so we all of us amateurs hit it out over here, right? And he gave me a compliment first swing. He was like, "Ooh, I see a lot of speed here." I was like, "Thank you, man." And so he hits one out there, except he gets up and he aims over there. And I'm like, where he going?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is he aiming that way? Mm-hmm. Oh, he's probably going to hit a big old cut or something. I was like, but he likes to draw. That's weird. And he smashes it. But it never looks like he's swinging hard. You're just kind of like, huh. Kind of hit it well, but it was really solid. But, I mean, he didn't really put any extra into that. And now we're driving around looking for his ball. Like, where's... We drive up onto the green because he flew it 356 onto the green and almost killed Michelle Wee. Michelle's standing at the green like, really? Really? And it's like he flew it and landed it on the front edge of the green.
Now let's be honest here. When you hit your ball and you saw him hit his,
right?
Did you think, and you didn't see it anywhere in the fairway, did you think you got him? Did you think you got him off the tee?
Well, I was like, I know that my ball is where we're supposed to hit it. I hit it where we're supposed to hit it. You went ahead and put it in the trees somewhere. Yeah. And then you drive up, you're like, okay, that's wrong. That's wrong. Okay, but this is going to be fun. The other side of it that was great was all day long I said, I just want to be within 40 yards of him all day.
Yes, sir.
That's all I wanted.
Makes sense.
And so all day long I was like, walking off, my drive to his, right? And I was inside of 40 all day, most of the time around 25 to 30. And then I just wanted to, because it was a scramble, it was a shamble. And I wanted to have them use my ball twice. I was like, I just want just two.
Mm-hmm.
And so we used my ball on the 16th. And I'm like, wow, that means I only got two more chances at possibly having my second one used. We get to 18, right?
Yes.
And I hit a beautiful drive right down the middle.
Attaboy.
And he takes out an iron. And I'm like, is he giving me this? Like,
yeah.
I felt kind of like, that's really the greatest host move in history? Like, he takes out an iron and he hits it the exact same distance as my driver, except it was in the rough, so we chose mine.
Hey, all right, we chose mine.
I got my two.
It's a miracle.
But as we drive down there, he goes, "Wait a minute, I could have flown the water." It's like, whatever, dude. Whatever, dude. Really? Really? You took out an iron and you almost beat me. And now you probably could have flown the water because it was water. It was, a little water,
story.
And going across the fairway. But yeah. But I mean, just so incredible to watch. It's weird how, we all experience this. Everybody who plays golf experiences the reality that you can be amazing at golf for 6 months and one moment can happen and literally you're like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And there's no rhyme or reason. It makes no sense. I mean, he's Rory McIlroy and he looks slightly lost on the golf course hitting the ball. It's so weird.
Alfonso Ribeiro here on the Rich Eisen Show. If I had told you when you were on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air that you'd be the host of America's Funniest Home Videos one day, what would you have told me?
I would have said that's never going to be possible. One, by time I would be in the position to ever be in this show, it won't be around.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
And it's America's Funniest Home Videos. They're not hiring me to be the host.
Saget at the time, right?
Yeah. I mean, when that show started, it was, 28 million, 35 million viewers per episode.
Huge.
Right? I mean,
huge.
Different time in television,
still
right?
Huge.
But amazing what those numbers were. And, I just never would have thought. And I feel so lucky, so blessed that this opportunity happened. And things happen for a reason. You just never know. And, things line up, right? And in this situation, right, it just so happened that Tom Bergeron was walking away from AFE the year that I was on Dancing with the Stars. We became friendly. He's going to the network and the studio saying, hey, I think Alfonso would be the guy to replace me.
Yeah.
And everybody agrees. Right? Like that. Those stories don't happen to me in Hollywood.
Well,
right?
It did, man.
And it did. And I feel so blessed that I've had that opportunity. And now, being the main MC host on Dancing with the Stars.
That's right.
It's like Tom and I joke all the time. It's like, dude, what's your next show? I'm like, I need to know what your next show is because I need to know what show I'm trying to get, right? And so he jokes all the time. He's like, Alfonso, I'm not taking a job yet. I'm not sure where your career is going to go funny. After this, but as soon as I do one, I'll know that you're coming.
How old were you when you first started on Fresh Prince?
Fresh Prince, I was 18.
18?
Yeah, I was 18. The character, I think, was 15 or 16.
I'm 27 years removed from my first SportsCenter, and whenever they pop up on Twitter,
right,
I think it's a different human. Like, do you think that when you see Fresh Prince pop up? Like
completely, I have no recollection.
Come on, really?
Yeah, like very little memory of that time, right? Just because, I mean, it's over 30 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And it's like a different human being to me. It's just that's a different person. It's not me. It's not it's certainly not this guy today, right? The ones that truly get me is, if I look at anything with like Tap Dance Kid.
Sure.
Right. Or Pepsi commercial, Michael Jackson, right. Silver Spoons. Those are the ones that's like, that's because I was a kid.
That happened.
Right. But it happened. Right. Yeah. It was cool. Like right. I every once in a while I'll pull up a video of, I'll show, my kids or other kids or whatever. And I'll show there's a video of me at Lincoln Center with Michael Jackson. And the story that I tell, which is always very funny, is right before he walked out on stage.
Yes.
He went to the bathroom and accidentally dropped his sequin glove in the toilet. Okay.
Come on.
No. True story. Dropped it in the toilet. He's freaking out.
Is it the only one?
It's the one.
Wow.
It's the glove, right? He's got one glove. He didn't come with multiple. He didn't have a suitcase, right? Of gloves. He had the glove. He dropped it in the toilet. Like, he must have taken it off, put it on the sink or something, and it fell in the toilet. He's freaking out. And, like, finally he realized, wait a minute. He reaches in, grabs his glove. And the rest of us are like, but he dropped the glove. And what you gonna do with the glove, bro? Right? And so we had to go out on stage, and he has a soaking wet sequin glove on.
From the toilet.
From the toilet.
Of Lincoln Center.
At Lincoln Center.
By the way,
Lincoln Center toilet water on the glove. This is the first time I'm ever telling this story on TV.
Wow.
This is a Rich Eisen
I appreciate
first
it.
Right
Thank
here.
You. One would have to think, though, I mean, of any toilet water, Lincoln Center's got to be
I mean,
your top-notch toilet
The question
water.
To me was whether he flushed it first.
That was my question.
Right? Did he,
was he able to
did
flush
he flush
first?
And then pull, or flush did he pull then flush?
I think that's a huge difference.
There is a huge difference there.
A pull and flush is much better than a flush and pull.
No, you don't flush and pull.
You
get all the
first.
Dirty water away. The new clean water kind of cleans it off a little bit.
Okay.
And then you pull the glove out,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Come, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean...
Was he in the frame of mind to think that way, though?
I don't know. All I'm thinking is this one sequin glove, and it's in the freaking toilet.
Personally, I think he grabbed and flushed. That's what I think happened. And I think he went out on stage with a McNasty glove on, and the rest of us were trying to figure out what we were going to do because I wasn't shaking that man's hand. Not that day.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I will be a meme after this.
All right, last one. Is there a story behind the Carlton dance?
There's very little story there. I mean, the story ultimately was that the first time I read it in the script, it simply said Carlton dances.
Yes.
And, you know, when you're in the first season of any show, everything that is written in a script is new,
yes.
Right? So everything you've got to create what that is, right?
Uh-huh.
So does he sing well? Does he dance well? Does he play sports well, right? All of this... You're crafting it as you go.
Yes.
And I had actually, like, made fun of this dance, like, before the show had started, like, going to, like, little, like, lounges and stuff, and I would like, mess around because the dance was, the inspiration for that dance was Eddie Murphy's White Man Dance, right, in his, I think it's the Raw video, right? And then it's Courtney Cox... On the Dancing in the dark video with Bruce Springsteen where he brings her up on stage and she does the white man dance. Well, I was like, okay, I think this character would absolutely do the white man dance, but he would do it differently. And I had messed around with it. And so when in the script it said Carlton dances and we get on stage and we're just kind of, you know, seeing what it is. And I'm like, I'm thinking this.
Yes.
And I show everybody, and that was it.
They were like, that's
it. They were
it.
Like, you're not doing it. We don't need to see anything else. You're doing that.
Sold.
Sold. You've got the Carlton dance for the rest of your life. You didn't know what you just created, but you will never walk down the street again without someone yelling, do the dance.
We're not going to do that. We're not going to ask.
We're not doing that. I just was wondering if there was a story behind it.
No, that's really the story. But fantastic. I had already messed around with it. I had like, you know, it wasn't like it just fully just was on that moment came up with it. I'd like, you know, because I loved Eddie Murphy and I remembered the video and I'd like, you know, I remember at one point I was in like a lobby bar somewhere and I was watching these two white guys literally do the dance. And I was like, that is hysterical. And I was like, and then I go out on the dance floor and I'm making fun of them with their dance doing it. And I'm like, oh, this is, you know, one day in my mind, I'm like, one day I'll get to make fun of somebody again. Except it was making fun of myself and the character.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Alfonso Ribeiro, you are the best, man. Let's do this more on the regular.
Yes.
Anytime you're up for it. America's Funniest Home Videos season finale of the 33rd season. Come on. It's your 8th season hosting this iconic program. 7 p.m. on ABC. You can watch episodes on demand and on Hulu the following day right here on Roku. Let's tee it up at some point.
Absolutely,
time.
Brother.
That's Alfonso Ribeiro here on The Rich Eisen Show. back on the air with our Roku channel live stream. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brockman has left the building. He is on his way to Los Angeles International Airport for Kevin Rahm's charity golf tournament. Again, you know, it's a very successful charity golf tournament. He said they raised $1.6 million for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. The largesse and, I guess, philanthropy of the Jacksonville community is it's remarkable.
That's cool.
You know, I just hope Chris doesn't suppress the fundraising effort, because somebody who's going to go up to Kevin Rahm and say, I can't believe I spent all this money on a fivesome and this is my celebrity. He's an actor with no credits.
Come on, Rich. Let's hype him up, man. Let's hype him up.
All right, he's in Buddy Games.
Yeah, let's hype him up.
This weekend, he's in theaters near you.
By the way, if he was... I'm
amazed. We're actually in a movie together.
Look at
together,
us. You know? I know. Look it up. On the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku channel. And after this is all over, he's going to show up in New York City, hopefully collect an Emmy Award.
Yeah. We stink. It's over.
See, we can always. Chris is still here.
Stephen A. said Kawhi's the biggest fake superstar. No, Tatum is the biggest fake superstar.
We still have
Young
Chris.
He's right now did a lot of heavy lifting in that rant right there.
Yeah, I mean.
What do you think happens tonight? I think the Lakers have a shot tonight.
They got a shot.
I think they showed something in the second half.
I brought that up yesterday, yeah.
Where the matchups, they kind of, you know, were hunting and pecking for the right matchup. And I think they kind of, did they crack the code in the second half?
Also,
I don't know.
I brought this up yesterday, and Lisa Salters brought it up after I said it. Like, first of all, that altitude is real. And that is something to try to get acclimated to and get.
So the first half might have been something?
Well, I think the whole first game. And I mean, look, obviously 3 days isn't going to get you acclimated. But, you know, it's probably going to be a little bit easier than it was game one.
Well, as you know, 3 days is not enough to get acclimated in Miami.
No.
If you're playing in Miami.
You know, the humidity will get you.
I don't know why I took that shot at a fellow Jet fan. I don't know why I did that.
Because it was easy.
I like Greeny.
Of course you do.
I don't know why I did that. There's low hanging fruit.
Look, you like us, but you take shots too.
I do. I take shots.
You know?
I do.
Anytime I bring up the Jets, you got a shot back to me about something normally, dumb the Cowboys have done.
Normally, so. I'm the counterbalance to Chris. Now that Chris has left the building, I guess I'm taking over that irritable Northeast corridor.
Show up! What are you doing?
By the way, great drop when you're showing the empty chair.
I said to Hoskins, I'm going to hit
well
the drop.
Well done,
so
Hoskins. Show the empty chair. He's screaming, show up. Do that one more time. It's too good. For empty chair, here we go. There we go.
Show up. What are you doing?
As he's not here.
It's just so good.
Don't worry. We wouldn't, if you left the building early on a show, do the same thing.
Oh, that is not true. You've done it to me.
You wouldn't do that.
You've done it to me.
When have we ever done that to you?
My mom told me you did it to me.
What?
I left one Friday to go home early. And I told you I did a top five. I remember I did a top five about this movie, Zola. And it wasn't even about the movie. It was just like, I went to this movie and it felt good because I hadn't been to a theater in like 13 months. And then my mom was like, yeah, after you left, they start talking trash about you. See, my mom was watching, bro. She did do it to me.
By the way, Brockman's mom also watched.
Yeah, so Miss Mary, no.
Sorry.
Miss Mary and Miss Linda, they're watching out.
Sorry, Mary, but you raised an asshole.
That's why I stay all the time, because I don't want you talking about me.
Oh, stop. So what's the more wild story that we heard today?
Okay.
Josh Duhamel saying that he asked James Caan when they were working on the show Las Vegas together, that had he ever met Marlon Brando?
I don't think anything can top that.
No, that was...
Or
Alfonso Ribeiro on stage at Lincoln Center with my new fantasy team named Michael Jackson's Toilet Glove.
Michael Jackson. He said that he dropped.
By the way, how does he have only one sequin glove?
Well, that's what I asked him after.
How
he
do
left?
They not have multiple sequin gloves?
He just had one. You would have thought.
Can you imagine like if they lost his luggage or somebody though.
Yeah,
they had only one sequin glove.
He probably
glove?
Keeps like, it. I guarantee his assistant or whoever's with him keeps.
Yeah, but what if a fan stole it or something?
One like, thing, no, like he's out of luck. Like you have to go to. You probably have to go to cross town of.
No, you're not far.
Have to go to Michael's.
Bloomingdale's
to pick up Michael's one. I mean, make a new one. Like I did that once after he passed away. I made a Michael Jackson glove, and then I
made an Instagram page of me taking pictures of myself grabbing stuff.
Did you drop it in the toilet?
I'd never drop
the
it.
The Altoona toilet glove?
The Altoona toilet.
Well, that was the Foot Locker toilet glove?
He was here. I was here when that happened. But.
Yo, so which one? Which one? It's got to be Michael Jackson's toilet glove.
I got to put that on a Twitter poll. Like, what's the most unbelievable story?
Well, it'll all be up on our Instagram page and up on our YouTube and everything. What a great show.
Oh. You love Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
With her assistant, Jess.
What you did not see is when Raquel arrives and she wants to talk to me, I made her sit in a corner. Explain. Sat in a corner booth all by herself in the dark.
Waiting for to talk to you.
Waiting for me to finish dancing to 50 Cent.
It's my birthday! Sit in a corner!
Give Them Lala wherever you listen.